Let's begin. Okay, let's talk about shalant. What happens if we have Friday night? You have a shalant. Shalant on.
You have to find if it's the Lutvesh shalant, Hungarian shalant.
We have a shalant on the range, on the blech, and the shalant. Let's assume for the sake of simplicity, for the moment, it's fully cooked, and you notice that from your experience, if you're going to let the shalant is dry, it's getting a little bit dry, and if you leave the cholent over on the blech, the way it is, by tomorrow morning it will be burnt. The liquid, the moisture, will evaporate, and the beans, the potatoes, the meat is going to get hard, and it will not be edible. What is one to do? What could you do? So there are two possible solutions. Number one is to raise the cholent, or to remove it from the fire to a degree where the intensity of the fire will not dry out the chalent at a rate that will make it unedible. In other words, if you have a blech, you have a very long blech, and right now the chalent is on the fire, on part of the blech which is directly upon the fire, so you can just pull the chalent partially away from the fire, so the entire chalent is not resting on the fire. The temperature is not as intense, and that's fine. That's a very simple solution. Many people do that. Let's say you have a very small blech, where there's no room. There are other pots. There are other pots on the blech, and there's really no room to maneuver the chalent in such a way where it will be safe and it will make a difference. So the other solution is to basically raise it. How do you raise it? You take a pan, an aluminum tin pan, and you put it upside down on the blech, and you put the cholent pot on top of the aluminum pan. Now, what does that do? Well, if the pot is not making direct contact with the blech, but the pot is raised slightly, I mean, it all depends on how much you're going to raise it. You have to experiment. It'll take a couple of weeks to experiment to see to what degree it will diminish the heat from the fire, and it will not dry out. So that you're not really doing anything. Those two examples of either taking the chalent and pull and sliding it down the blech, or even bringing an aluminum disposable pan, and turning it upside down on the blech, and resting the pot of cholent upon it, assuming that it's not going to crush the pan. You know, if you have some of these aluminum pans, they're not very strong. If you have a very heavy pot of cholent, it's going to crush it in 1 second. So you have to double it up. You have to have two pans, three pans, depending on how heavy your pot of cholent is. By raising a pot,
you put a knife underneath it. That's two knives on both sides of the pot.
That does the job? Okay, fine. That could do the job also. Everyone has their technique. That's perfectly fine. You have to, of course, remember the rules that we learned before, that whenever you remove a pot of hot food from a fire, even from a blech, you're only allowed to return it if five conditions are met. Number one, it has to be fully cooked. It's partially cooked, you're not allowed to return it. Number two, the flame must be covered. Number three, you have to have intent. When you take it off the fire, you will return it. Number four, you're not allowed to put it down. Once you let it rest upon the counter, you let it rest upon the counter for one moment, you're not allowed to return it. We discussed that Rav Moshe Feinstein is lenient, and he says, if necessary, you can put it down on the counter as long as you don't let go of the handle. Or we learned last week another leniency. If even if you don't want to make use of that leniency, if you put on an angle, you rest it along the edge of the counter, where if you were to let go of the handle, it would fall on the floor. So therefore, you're using the weight. You're not resting the heavy pot. You're not holding it in your hands. You're not suspending it in the air. You're leaning it along the edge of the counter. But if you were to let go, it would fall on the floor. You're holding it by its handle, so that keeps it suspended. And the last condition is it must still be steaming hot. Once the temperature of the pot decreases below the temperature of Yatzoleh, this boat, no longer are you allowed to return it to the fire. So again, these are five basic conditions. Chazara, if you want to return a pot of food, you want to take it off the fire, and you wish to return it to the fire at any time, five conditions must be met. It has to be, we just concluded, still, it must remain, when you're going to put it back, it has to still be remaining burning hot, more than the Yatzoleh Despo. You have to have kavana that you were planning to return it. You cannot have put it down in the middle on a counter, or at least hold on to the handle or balance it. The fire must be covered if you want to return it, and it must be fully cooked. Those are five critical conditions that are necessary in order to be permitted to return food that has been taken off the fire, for it to be returned to the fire. So this is very relevant when a person, this is very common, when Friday night, person notices that the cholent is not the way it's supposed to be, it's not going to make it until tomorrow, and you want to take it off the blech in order to rearrange the pots. It's very common, you have a blech, and you have soup, and you have a kugel, and you have the cholent, and you can have some chicken soup, whatever you have on the blech. And you see that, this is not going to work. And something has to be done. Things have to be rearranged in order that the part, let's say if you have arranged your two, there are two flames, the front and the back, only one is on. Obviously, whatever is in the back is going to get burnt. It's going to get, that's where the real heat is. The front of the blech, it's much less intense because it's away from the fire. And it's going to be necessary to rearrange the pots. This is very, very common. So when you are in the process of rearranging the pots, you only got two hands. If you have five pots and two hands, it's not so easy to rearrange five pots with two hands and move the cholent from the front, from the back to the front, and this and that. And the problem usually is, I need to put a pot on the counter for a few moments while I rearrange things. And that is a problem. Because once you let go, you're now in violation of chazora. And the solution, of course, is to get someone to help you. Someone should come to the kitchen. I know the men, they don't even know which side of the range is fleishik, which side is milchik. Okay, there are some men, they don't even know which side do you put down the fork, which side do you put down the knife. So some men don't know from these things, but the only way for a person to really do this, you need someone to help you to hold the pot for a minute or two, for 30 seconds, when you rearrange. And what you can rearrange again by moving it away to different parts where there's less intensity, or to put on, like Rav Meir said, two knives, or some people, I saw some techniques, they use these aluminum pans. You have to sometimes double them up so it shouldn't get crushed. Different techniques, everyone knows. Everyone is a master chef. Everyone has their trademark secrets, what to do to make the perfect cholent. Okay, now, what's the other solution, which is the much more common solution? The more common solution is to take the kettle, steal all the hot water. The people tomorrow morning, they're going to wake up, they want coffee. You have to make a decision. What's more important, the coffee or the cholent? It's not going to be enough hot water for both. If you're going to take the water out of the kettle and add it to the cholent, there's not going to be hot water for coffee tomorrow morning, right? So you got to make a decision. So let's say you make a decision, you're going to take the water from the kettle and you're going to pour it into the cholent. Are you allowed to do that? So the answer, of course. I mean, we have to get into a little bit of a discussion over here. Now let's discuss the shita of the kolbay. The Mishnah Berurah cites the shita, the opinion of the kolbay. The kolbay is a very big chiddush. The Mishnah Berurah himself writes, It's not often that the Mishnah Berurah writes that I do not know something. I do not understand the logic of the kolbay. The kolbay was a rishon. I think the Kolbay was written, if not mistaken, during the time of of a, it was like a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. It was written during the expulsion of Jews from France, the time of Rabbi Chil Miparis, when there was the debate, the deposition of the Talmud, the Sreifas HaTalmud. It was the aftermath of the Sreifas HaTalmud, and the Jews were in the process of being expelled from Spain and from France, and they weren't too many Sfarim. So the Kolboy, in order to preserve halacha, no one should forget halacha, he wrote like a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. What we would call today Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, which is called the Kolboy, and the Mishneh Berurah is in love with this Kolboy. And he cites from the Kolboy very often. If not for the Mishneh Berurah, we probably would never even have heard of it. He cites it often, and he cites the Kolboy, says that it is forbidden to pour boiling hot water into a pot that is on the fire. And the Mishneh Berurah says, I don't understand why. The boiling hot water has already been cooked. It's more than Yatzer Ledespo. And there's a principle of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. And I don't understand why it is forbidden to pour boiling hot water into a dish that's fully cooked while it is on the flame, while it's on the blech. It's not really on, it's ketumah. It's not on the open fire. It's covered. The Kolboy says it is forbidden to pour liquid that's burning hot into a dish that is also very, very hot, burning hot, that is upon an open fire, even if the open fire is covered. So that would mean, according to the Kolboy, you're not allowed to take the kettle, which is boiling hot water, and pour it into your cholent that is drying out Friday night while the cholent is sitting on the blech, which is upon an open fire. That is prohibited. Why? The Mishneh Berurah himself says, I don't know why. But it's prohibited.
According to the Kolboy, it's just going to get ruined and finished.
According to the Kolboy, you have other solutions. We're looking for solutions. The first solution I told you is very simple, to move it away. Reduce the heat. The way you reduce it is you slide it down to the part of the blech that's not directly over the fire. To a degree, you don't want it to get cold. Or you raise it. You put a can of tuna fish, or an aluminum blech upside down to raise it. You have to know the science of exactly, you know, Goldilocks. Not too hot, not too cold, just right.
Put it on top of another pot.
Yeah, same thing. That's like an aluminum, but
fire. I mean, you put like if you get soup or something else.
Yes, you can put it on top of another pot. Absolutely, you can definitely put it
on the fire also.
Yes, of course, you can do that. Of course,
it's on the blech, but it's directly on the fire.
That's even better. That's shloik derech bishul. When you put a pot upon another pot, a kedera, al gabe kedera, that you can warm up. You can warm up solid food. That's in the whole different halacha. That's for sure good. But you don't need to even do that. This is simple. You just move the pot away from the fire a little bit, or you raise it. The only reason why I mention this thing is because when you do raise it or you do rearrange, many people, you see, they have to rearrange. Friday night, they realize that something is wrong. They have gas. They're doing something that's not usual. Normally, you know, you have a routine. But let's say you have your children and your grandchildren come over and you're really stressed out and there are too many things going on in the kitchen. There are too many pots on the range for a 2-day, for a Shabbos, Yom Tov, whatever it is. There's too much going on and you're all stressed out and you have to rearrange things. Otherwise, the food's going to get burnt. So I'm just pointing this out, that when you do take the pot off the blech to rearrange, there's a very very important halacha that you cannot forget. You have to keep it suspended. You're not allowed to put it down. Because once you put it down, you're not allowed to put it back on the range unless you hold on to the handle but you need that hand to rearrange the other pots on the range. So the reason why I mentioned this is just that when you do rearrange, you have to be careful not to let go. Okay, but now let's go to the other solution, which is a much simpler solution. That is just take water from the kettle and pour the water into the chalent. And by doing that, by pouring the water into the kettle, by pouring water into the chalent, you're not doing anything really wrong because the water already has been cooked. So, if the water has been cooked, it's ein bishul achar bishul. It's hot, and basically this is all in the category of chazara. I'm taking water off a fire, and I'm returning it to the fire, just in a different pot. I have hot water on the range that's fully cooked, it's boiling hot. I'm taking it off the fire and I'm returning it to the fire, but I'm returning the water into a different pot. What's the problem? It's hot, it's fully cooked, it's my intent, I didn't let go of it, and the fire is covered. I have all five conditions, so what's the problem? The Kolboy says you can't do that. That's the way it is. You can't pour a liquid. You can't pour a liquid. And certainly you can't stir. You're not allowed to stir. Magus. You're not allowed. You know, it's not enough. It's not enough sometimes just to pour the water into the cholent. Sometimes you need to stir it. So what's the solution? It's very simple. You need help. You take the pot of cholent off the fire and you hold it in your hands, and somebody else, when you're holding it, be very careful not to get burnt, while you're holding it, somebody else pours the water from the kettle into the chalent, and then they stir it while you're holding it, and then you return it to the fire. That is 100% permitted. So that is a very basic solution.
When you're holding it, somebody else is putting the water in. What's the difference in that?
What would you naturally want to do? You would naturally, if you want to do this, then you would take the pot off the fire, put it down on the counter, right, and then take the kettle, pour the water from the kettle into the chalent, and stir it, and put it back on the fire. Once you put the pot down on the counter, you are not allowed to return it. Next question, Mordechai. So pour the water while it's still on the fire. The Kolboy, the Mishnah Berura, cites the opinion of the Kolboy that it is forbidden to pour and to stir boiling hot water into a pot of food that is resting upon the fire, even if the fire is covered. It's mechseh kibishul. It looks like you're cooking. So you're not allowed to take the pot off the fire and put it on the counter and add water and stir it, because once you put the pot down on the counter, you're not allowed to return it to the fire. That's a violation of the law of Chazara.
1 inch and then put the water in and then put it back on.
Exactly. But you only have two hands. And the pot of cholent is very heavy, even a small dish of cholent. And the worst thing you want is to burn yourself and end up in Bellevue Hospital Friday night. That you certainly don't want. So the only way to do this is you need someone to help you. You need someone to help you.
Is the problem also with this stirring it? Can you stir it?
No, you're not allowed to stir. Same thing, it's even worse. Stirring, you're not allowed to stir. Some hold the Kolboy is only stirring. I don't remember all the details. I'm forgetting the details.
Because if you take a pot, even if you're using both hands, and you hold it under a kumkum, where you press the spout has this.
Okay, so I didn't get notice. I didn't say kumkum yet. I said a kettle. I'm going to get to the kumkum in a moment. I only said now pouring from a kettle. Now.
So the kettle is also off the fire then?
Right. That's chazara. Listen, let's step back. If I want to make a cup of coffee, let's clarify something very, very simple. I have a kettle, not an urn, a kettle. And I want to make a cup of coffee. What do? I pick up the kettle, I take it off the blech, I hold it in my hand, and I pour hot water into a cup. Kli sheni, kli shlishi, kli rishon, whatever you want to do, right? Whatever, that was last week. You pour it. And then when I finish pouring the hot water into the cup, what do I do with the kettle? I put it back on. How are you allowed to put it back? How are you allowed to do that? Mechzik Bishul. You're putting water on an open fire on Shabbos? Are you out of your mind? How in the world are you allowed to do that? You're putting mamash b'chal Shabbos. I took a kettle off the fire, and now I'm holding in my hand a kettle of water, and I'm putting it on a fire. This is mamash chil Shabbos, right? No, it's not. The water is burning hot. It's yatzeh ledesboy. The fire is covered. It was my intent to return it to the fire. I did not put it down. What other conditions? All five conditions are met. The fire is covered. I had kavana. I didn't put it down. The water is fully cooked and it's hot. Did I repeat myself twice? If all five conditions are met when you take a kettle off an open fire, I take the kettle off, I put it back on, it's perfectly fine. So what's the difference if I return the water in the kettle to the fire or if I return the water in the kettle to a pot of cholent on the fire? It's the same water. All five conditions are met. So what the answer is a kolboy. It's a chiddush. The Mishnah Berurah says he doesn't understand the lumness of the kolboy. The kolboy says you're not allowed to take hot water and pour it, and certainly not to stir after you pour into a pot of hot food that is on the fire, even if all five conditions are met. You're not allowed to do this. So what do you have to do? You have to remove the pot of food which you want to put the water into off the fire. Now, there are two ways to do that. Easy way is, if a very big blech, slide it. If there's nothing else on, the easiest thing to do by far is, well, what people do, I'm not even so sure that's such a good idea, because it's also, you're taking it off the fire, it's on the counter. No, I take that back for now. I have to go look into that. He doesn't talk about that. But the best thing to do is, the best thing by far to do is to pick it up, hold it in your hands, and someone else will pour water into the chalet. And they will then stir it a little bit, and then you put it back on the fire. That way, you are not in violation of any halacha. You fulfilled all five conditions of returning, and you are not in violation of the words of the kolboy, because you did not add hot water to a pot of food that is sitting upon a fire. You've added hot water to a pot of food that is off the fire, and you stirred it off the fire. It's not a cliche, it's a kli rishon. The pot is a kli rishon. The pot is the original source of food. When you pour the water from the kettle, the water in the kettle is a kli rishon. The pot of food is a kli rishon. Just because you're transferring the water from the kettle into the other pot, it doesn't make a difference. The kolboy says, actually the Mishnah Berurah does not understand the logic behind it, but it's forbidden to do such a thing. So you need help. You need someone to help you. You take off the pot off the fire. Someone pours the water from the kettle into the pot. You stir it if you need to stir it. Not all the time is it necessary to stir. And then you put it back. But to pour the water from the kettle into the chalent while the chalent is resting on the fire is not permitted. I believe that some opinions hold that it is permitted as long as you don't stir. And then the Mishnah Berurah says, I think you should not even pour. Even that should not be done. You should take it off, then pour the hot water while you're holding it, and then return it. Now, everything I've told you now, notice, was about a kettle. What about pouring water from an urn or a kumkum, an urn into the chalet? So most of the poskim say it's the same exact thing. It's 100% permitted. However, here's the dilemma. There are some opinions that say there are different levels of bishul. The water, the food on the fire, will usually reach over the temperature of 212 degrees Fahrenheit or 100 degrees Celsius, boiling. It's very possible if you leave the food on a fire, it's going to reach, eventually it'll reach that temperature. Water in an urn does not usually reach that level of heat. Usually it does not, get, it depends. There are different models, there are different types. They don't usually reach that degree of heat. So there are those who want to suggest that pouring water from an urn into a cholent that is drying out, even if you will remove it from the fire, is forbidden. Because you will, in essence, be cooking the water. You'll say, what do you have cooking? The water already is more than yatsoled espay. So the water is already cooked. Correct. The water is already cooked, grade A cooking. But to take water that's more than yatsoled espay and to introduce it into an environment where it will bubble, meaning it will reach a boiling point, which is 100 degrees Celsius, 212 degrees Fahrenheit, that can also be considered bishul. Now, is that bishul deraisa, derabanan? I don't know. So there are opinions that are machmir, that do not allow a person... Okay, do not allow a person to do this. They do not allow one to take water from an urn or any of those type of those things that we use for hot water and use it to add water to a cholent that is drying out, even though all of these conditions have been fulfilled. Somebody's gonna hold the cholent for you when you add this water because you are raising the temperature of the water in this urn from a type of bishul that is a low-grade bishul to a higher-grade bishul when it will finally come to rest on the fire, and that can involve a melacha d'oraisa, according to some, of bishul on Shabbos. And there's another issue. This becomes also a very important issue, that's zeah. This can be a very big problem. And that is, you have a kettle. It also can be a problem with the kettle, but not as much. But when you have an urn, the water doesn't come out so fast. You have to really bend it in a very significant way to get the water to come out the way you want and not get hurt and not get burnt. In the process of maneuvering the urn or whatever type of kumkum you have, the zeya, there is steam that is rising from the cholent. And if the cholent is a fleishik dika cholent, so the steam that's rising has the status of bosar. Now there is a machlokes. Is zeya, what status does zeya really have? The steam that comes from bosar, do we give it the status of mamish real bosar? Or no, steam is not, there's no substance in the steam, so we can be makel, it's not called bosar. It's not clear cut. There are different opinions. Obviously, it's not a lechatchila. No one is advertising that. No kashrus organization is going to advertise that we're very lenient on this matter. That's ridiculous. And generally, we are machmir when we're able to. That steam that rises from a food that is meat has the status of meat. And when that steam contacts a metal utensil, it makes the metal utensil bosar. So if you want tomorrow morning to drink your hot water from this urn that you've used to add water to the cholent with milk, you're entering into a dilemma of bosar b'chalav. So when you take an urn and you delicately, it's a whole long process, someone's going to take the pot of cholent off the fire. They're going to hold it for you. You're then going to pick up the urn. It's probably still, attached to the wall. It's plugged in. And you're going to pick up it. You're going to bend it. And you're going to maneuver it. Open up the spout in order to let the water into the cholent, to add hot water to the cholent. In the process, it's almost guaranteed that if this is a meat cholent, then there's going to be steam rising from the cholent that's going to be making contact with all of the metal, the plastic also, of your urn. And you're now entering into a question. It's not an absolute. There's nothing over here. You can't say that you are. It becomes fleishix, but it's not a good idea. We're machmir. L'chadchila, you should not do that. You should not. If it happened already, then you can be lenient. You can say that Zeya ba'alma, Zeya does not have the status of bosser. But l'chadchila, you're not supposed to do it. You're not supposed to knowingly put a utensil that is parif, which you plan to use. You plan to take the water that's inside this urn and add milk to it. Have a milk dicker coffee. When this urn has now, for 5 minutes or for 3 minutes, has been absorbing the steam, absorbing the steam of a meat chalent. So we have two problems. Number one, the water in the urn is not as hot as it will be when you put it into the chalent. When it's in the urn, it's not reaching boiling point. It's maybe 190 degrees. Maybe it's 200 degrees, but it's not going to be 212 degrees. And when you put it into the chalent and you put the chalent back on the open fire, it's very likely that it will reach boiling, 212 degrees. So you're now going up a notch. And number two, you know, by doing this, you're putting your urn in harm's way. You're putting your urn in harm's way where there's going to be Zeya. Unless you'll say, no, the chalent, there's no Zeya. Not every chalent has Zeya. Not every chalent, you know, not every chalent, you know, if it's not hot, that hot, or maybe you open up a small section, let's say it's covered, and you open up only a small section, and there's no steam coming out, and you can, fine. But you have to take that, you have to be very careful. Now, what about a kettle? The kettle is the same thing. Kettle, by the way, is ordinarily, in general, is a disaster. Everyone knows that a kettle, this is one of the big hot topics, which people don't want to talk about, is that the kettle on your range is likely treif. A kettle is a very big nightmare because it's inevitable. If you have a kettle and on your range and on the other side of the range you're cooking fleishix, it's gonna splatter. There's gonna be some explosions. There's gonna be some things, and you look carefully at your kettle. Ask yourself, how did that get there? How did those?
Can we just go back a second? If you put your pot on the blech and you put, let's say, two knives or something underneath it to raise it, and later you decide to take out the knives,
you can put it back on the fire.
Okay, so when you put it on the knives, why can't you pour the water from the kettle straight into it without any problem from the mishabur or anything?
And that's still cool over the fire. The answer is, even though you put the two knives, that's still cool. It's on
how
top of the fire.
How high does it have to be above not to be the fire? If you put it upside down, let's say...
I don't know. I hear the question. I don't know. I'm assuming as long as it's still burning hot, as long as the food, as long as the result will be that the food will be more than yatzo ledespo, I'm assuming that's still cooled over the fire. When you put two knives in between your pot and the blech, the food in the pot is still going to be, the temperature will still reach yad se ledespo.
Okay, it depends on how hot the blech is. But, okay,
but if
so
you raise it so high,
if you put it on top of aluminum foil, yeah, so it's like on top of a sear, are you allowed to take it off the aluminum foil then? No.
It all depends. If the food, again, you have to have five conditions. If the food is no longer hot, there's nothing to talk about.
It's just not
on
the fire.
As long as it's horizontally, as long as it's vertically above, as long as it has to be over the fire. The rule is vertical alignment. If the pot of food is vertically aligned on top of the fire, even though there is a gap, That is still called over the fire.
If it's a clear gabi clear.
Yes. Well, now what clear gabi clear? That's the way. There's a difference between a kadera gabi kadera and just raising it. If you put a knife, that's not called a kadera gabi kadera.
Take aluminum foil, aluminum container.
Yeah, that's not.
Turn it upside down.
That's not called. I don't think that's not called the kadera gabi kadera. Means this is one of the big problems with the Shabbat, with the kadera gabi kadera blech. A kadera gabi kadera demands to be something cooking inside. An empty pot An empty pot is not called a kedera al gabi kedera. A kedera al gabi kedera, the way they make the heter, the blech of the kedera al gabi kedera is
on
they have...
On a kedera, on an empty pot, you can put back on the blech. But if it's kedera on kedera, you can't put it
right,
on the
right, right, because that's not that... Right, correct. That's called you took it off. If you take a pot off the fire and you put it on top of another pot, that's equivalent to putting it down on the counter. Just like if you put a pot of food, of hot food on the counter, you're no longer permitted to put it back on an open fire. If you have, let's say you have a range of two sides, and you have food directly on the blech, and now you take it off the blech, and you put it down on top of another pot on the other side of the range. So you go from directly over the blech to a kedera al gabe kedera. And now you want to put it back on the blech on the other side. You're not allowed to do that. Putting your food, taking it off the fire, and putting it on top of another kedera is equivalent to putting the food down on the counter and letting go. Once you let go of the food, you're not allowed to return it. It's also mishum chazorah. What is called putting it down? The counter. Kedera al gabi kedera.
Okay, but so that's your solution. Your solution is if you always have another pot on the blech together with your chont, you put your chont on top of the other pot and you can add water.
But then you can't put it back.
Fine, you don't want to put it back anyway. Because
we're discussing a case where you want to put it back. You don't want to put it back, it's a whole different sugya. If you don't want to put it back, you do it at the other. We're talking now a situation where you have a pot of chont that's cooking. It's fully cooked. I want to do one thing only. I want to add hot water to this chon. That's always the best thing to do. All these other techniques, they don't work out too well. Because if you start taking off the fire, either it's cold, it becomes cold, or anyway it burns. It doesn't work. All these things. The best thing always is, you can never go, so if it's the chon's a little soupy, no, so it's a little too wet. So know what? Better the chon be have too much water than it get burnt. The solution is always better to add water. That's a given. So what do you do? So if you're going to take the
this is from Goldberg.
If you're going to take,
we gave him a wine decanter.
If you're going to take the pot of food off the blech and put it down on the counter, you're done. You can't put it back. You're finished.
But you can put it on top of kedera, which is...
If you put it on top of another kedera, that is equivalent to putting it down on the counter. You can't put it back on top of the blech.
Now, the kedera, gabe kedera, does it make a difference how high the kedera is?
No. The kedera, gabe kedera doesn't make a difference. But the kedera, gabe kedera, you have to have a real kedera. What's called a real kedera? There is something cooking in the bottom.
Okay,
pot.
So let me throw out a hypothetical. You have a can of tuna on your blech every Shabbos. You don't touch it. You just put the thing. It's cooking the tuna inside. You pick up your chon. You put it on the can of tuna, and then you can add water.
Now I don't know a can of tuna that's closed, that's sealed.
Yeah, what's the difference? It's a kedera.
I don't think so. That's probably called a piece of metal. I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer to your question. I don't know if that's called the kedera.
Well, I'm trying to invent something so that if you
I don't know. They already invented the kedera gabi kedera. They invented this already. This old thing, the kedera gabi kedera, they invented long ago. What is a kedera? They have just basically a very thin, narrow pot. You fill up with water.
So therefore that
opens up many possibilities of returning of chazara. You're allowed to warm up things on it for the very first time.
You can add water there, no problem either.
Oh, not so simple. Adding water, you're getting the same exact shilas.
If your kumkum is sitting on the same kedera al gabi kedera.
Adding water, if your kedera that you're using as the kedera, called the kedera blech, if it needs more water, you have basically the same exact shilas. You can't go.
No, I'm not talking about that. If you have on your kedera blech,
yeah,
you have the chalant and you have your water sitting in a kettle.
You want to add water.
You can add water.
You can add water. You can add water to a pot of food, hot water, of course, hot water that's already boiling hot, directly to a chalent that is resting upon another kedera. That is correct. That's one of the advantages of the kedera blech. The kedera blech allows you to add water directly to the chalent where it is. You don't have to take it off the fire, because since the chalent is not directly resting on the fire, it's resting upon another kedera. So it's called kedera al gabe kedera. Then the chumra of the kol boy does not apply. Then you are.
My whole question is on now: is a closed can, tuna, now, vegetables, whatever it is.
So this is a very big dilemma. This is not. There's no clarity on this. What exactly is called a kedera? What is? I mean, if you gave me an example, you took two knives and you put. That's not called a kedera. That's called a piece of metal. That's called that the pot is resting directly on the fire. There's no, you're not going to have any leniency. You made a little separation. You're taking the aluminum.
So why, what is the stones on a crock pot? What is the mind?
That's
a
different, the stones due to, we discussed last, that's hatmana. The stones accomplish two things. Hatmana, it takes away the hatmana question. It takes away the blech question. That's not a kedera gabi kedera. That's a different issue. So you want to ask a question. You're asking a question now. Are you allowed to add hot water into the crock pot on Shabbos when you have the stones inside? No, you're not allowed to. That would be exactly the same thing as the stones that you put into the crock pot.
It'd be like putting metal underneath.
Right. You're not allowed to add water directly into. It's very easy. Just take it as same thing. You take the crock pot out of the enclosure and you hold it in the air, and someone else pours water, and then you stir it, and then you put it back where it came from. Exactly the same technique.
Now let me throw it the other way. If the can of tuna is not called a kedera, are you allowed to take a can of tuna and put it on your blech?
Absolutely. Well, you have another problem, because inside putting it on the, you're cooking the fish inside.
It's cooked already.
It's cooked already, but it's cold. It's cold. It's not. It's a liquid. There's a liquid inside. If it was purely a solid, you would be permitted. But in the tuna fish can, there is a lot of liquid, and that liquid's going to be heated up. Now, you touched upon something very, very important. I want to discuss this right now. You touched upon something extremely important. What exactly is the prohibition of bishul? This is something very critical to understand this, and you understand a lot about all these halachas, and a lot of things fit into place. What are the laws of bishul? There are two critical laws. What is the prohibition to cook something on Shabbos? So, there are two things. Number one, until now, it's not edible. If I have a piece of meat, the average person does not eat raw meat. I know there are people that like raw meat, but the average person, by cooking meat, you transformed it from a state that is not edible to being edible. That's one example of cooking. There's another example of cooking: hot water. Is water drinkable when it's cold? It certainly is. So what do you gain? What do you gain by boiling hot water? What do you gain? You make it hot. It's the way I want it. Soup. Is anyone here willing to enjoy a freezing cold plate, bowl of chicken soup? Go to an event, go to a wedding. Think about it. You go to a wedding and you sit down at the wedding and they bring you out chicken soup. And it's ice cold. Literally, there are ice cubes inside. Will you take your spoon and enjoy the chicken soup? Mayor, what would you do? Be honest with me. You go to a wedding and they serve you chicken soup that has ice cubes inside. Will you enjoy that soup? I don't think so. Why? It's edible. It was fully cooked. It's your stomach will not know the difference. Guarantee your stomach will not know the difference if you consume that soup with ice cubes or it's steaming hot. It's all the same down there. Pepto-Bismol doesn't know the difference. It's all the same down there. Will not make one bit of a difference. So the question is, why? What's the problem? Why is this called? So what's the Bishul? The answer, it's not the way I want. I want it to be hot. Now, Lamaynaf, what is the difference between these two different types of Bishul? The difference is, what happens when you cook something for the first time and it cools off? So let's say I make meat, okay? A piece of meat. I cook the piece of meat. Until now, the meat was literally not edible. Now, the meat is edible. Bishul. I let the meat cool down. It's ice cold. But I can still eat it. It's more not just that I can still eat it. Such a major transformation has occurred. Anything that I do now to reheat it is insignificant relative to the first transformation that has occurred. In other words, like this. We're discussing now the rule of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. We have a rule that it is permitted to re-cook on Shabbos something that was already cooked. Why is that so? So let's discuss now solids. Let's discuss meat, chicken, kugel, anything that has gone through a major transformation. The second round of cooking, it's true. Until now it was cold, now it's hot. It maybe has changed a little bit to when you cook it a second time, maybe there's something different about it. But the difference between the state of being before you cook it a second time and its state of being before you cooked it the first time are worlds apart. Before you cooked the piece of meat for the very first time, it was not edible, period. It'll make you sick. You'll get sick. You'll have to go to the doctor. It's not edible, period. I've cooked it. Oh, I have now made a major, major transformation. And it's steaming hot and it's delicious. And then I let it sit around in the refrigerator, the freezer for a month. I take it out, it thaws out, and I want to go put it back on the pot on the fire. If I go mina and I put it on a fire on Shabbos, tell me, did I now do a change? Yeah, well, until now it was cold, now it's hot. Is that a significant change? Well, relative to the first round of Bishul, this is nothing. Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, you can do it. You can do it, not so similar. You can do it, there are certain conditions. You can't go put it directly on the fire. You can't go do that. But you can do it on Al Kedera, Al Gabe Kedera. You can reheat cooked food on top of another pot.
Even if it's Nizam?
No, if it's liquid, not. Only if it's a pure solid. The solid cannot pour. There can be juice, but the juice cannot pour. Now, we're going to come back to your point in one moment. Let's talk about liquids, water. I have water, fresh water, right out of the well, right out of the spring, fresh water. I cook it. Is there a change in this water? You know something I don't know? We have to bring in here a scientist to tell us. I don't know how these things work.
It hasn't physically or chemically changed, no.
Okay, so it goes from cold to boiling hot. And this is very interesting. La halacha, according to the letter of the law, I let that water cool down. It's not, it's really true. I think it's machlokes rishonim, but let's make believe. Let's be very lenient now, extremely lenient now. Let's just take one side, which I'm not even sure is correct, but let's just assume the following. I have water, fresh water right out of a spring or a well, rainwater, whatever you want to say, and I cook it to boiling. 212 degrees Fahrenheit, 100 degrees Celsius, boiling water. And now I let it cool down. I put in ice cubes. Well, I eat more water. It's not a good idea. I let it cool down on a cold winter day. And now I take that pot of water, that bucket of water, and I put it back on an open fire on Shabbos, the next Shabbos, or two Shabbos, that's whenever it is. Am I chayiv for melacha d'orais of bishul? According to many Rishonim, no. Absolutely not. Since this water, once upon a time, was once cooked to 100 and...
We don't say bishul acha bishul b'mayim.
Wait. As I said, are you chayiv? Wait. Let me explain. Minat Torah. According to the halacha, I told you let's just follow along with this opinion for the moment right now. There is such a shita. If I, and one more time, I have water, I boil water to the boiling point. It's 100% boiling. And I let it cool. And I put it away in the freezer for a year. I take it out a year later. I let it melt. And I then take this water and I put it on Shabbos on an open flame in front of the whole Klal Yisrael. Am I chayiv misa for bishul? According to some Rishonim, no, absolutely not. Why? Ain minat Torah, according to Torah law, ain bishul achar bishul. This water has already been cooked once. It already reached the boiling point once. You're done. Ain bishul achar bishul. Now, I don't know how this works scientifically, whether there is a chemical change in water after it cooks. Can we detect something like this? I don't think so. I don't know. It's not important. The Chachamim say, according to at least, there is certainly Rishonim that say this, once the liquid has been cooked to 100 to boiling, if it cools down, regardless of what you're going to tell me you see under a microscope, this is halacha. Halacha has its own set of rules, whether we like it or not. Ein bishul achar bishul. Now, let me ask you a practical question. Practical. If I take this water a year later that I put away in the freezer and I re-cook it, in my mind, is the second cooking significant? It certainly is. It's no less significant in my mind than the first cooking. The first time I cooked it, I went from cold water to hot water. It was edible. It was edible. It was drinkable in its original state, and it's drinkable when it's hot. It's just more enjoyable for me because it's hot. Now that it cooled off, it's exactly the same. There is no discernible difference, from my perspective, between the first cooking and the second cooking. It's all the same. Therefore, because there really is no difference, Chazal said, forget about what the law is min haTorah. It is categorically forbidden for you to re-cook on Shabbos in any way whatsoever. Whether it's an usual way or an unusual way, it is categorically forbidden for you on Shabbos over an open fire for you to go re-cook liquids. Because the difference in the cooking of the second time is not no different than the difference in the first time. The first time it was a liquid, now it's a solid. It was cold, it's hot. Now it's cold and it's hot. Oh, you're going to tell them, but it was once cooked? Yeah, don't confuse me with the facts. Maybe you're right. Maybe Minat Torah, if you check into its history, it was once cooked. So you're not going to be chayv Minat Torah for bishul achar bishul. Gezeres HaKosef. Whatever the lum this is, even though it's very hard for us to understand, that's the Gezeres HaKosef. It was once cooked, then there's no chiv anymore to cook it a second time. But midrabanan, you're chayiv. It is categorically written with no exceptions. A solid, you're permitted to recook with certain conditions. Why? Because whatever you're going to do now in the second round is nothing. It's a nebuch relative to the transformation that has come about to this object with its first cooking. A piece of meat that's raw, and I cook it, now it's edible. Before it wasn't edible. Now it is edible. You want to go put it away in the freezer, in the refrigerator, and let it sit there for months? Good for you. You take it out of the refrigerator, let it let it thaw out. You could eat it right now when it's cold also. It's edible. Your stomach's not going to know the difference. Oh, you want it to be hot. Oh, you want it to taste good. You want the warmth. So you're going to cook it up. You're going to cook it on Shabbos. Okay, so what exactly have you accomplished by cooking it now a second time? You've transformed it from hot, from cold to hot. And what did you accomplish when you cooked it the first time? I transformed it from inedible to edible. Oh, that's a major difference. That's a major, major difference. There we say a principle of ein bishul achar bishul, even when it comes to ein bishul achar bishul, it's mutter, because it's a solid. But a liquid? No, that you can't say, because as far as we're concerned, it's like you're cooking it for the very first time. Now, what happens when you have solids that have a lot of gravy? Okay, a chalent, all these different. So the what status do we give items that are somewhere in the middle? So the answer is, can you pour it? If liquid pours forth, if there's moisture, that's natural. You have a piece of chicken, you have a piece of kugel, and there's oil, and it's soggy, doesn't matter. That is called a solid that is permitted. But when there's so much liquid where the liquid can be poured independent of the solid, that already has the status of a liquid. Okay, now let's go back to our just recap this law. I don't think it would take so long to go through, but it's a very important law. They bring in a lot of principles in this question of the chalent. There's a general halacha called a prohibition to return a food that has been taken off the fire, to return it to a fire, even if the fire is covered. The only time one is permitted to return a pot of food that is removed from the fire, to return it to the fire, if five conditions are met. You have to have intent to return it, the fire must be covered, the food must be fully cooked, it must be hot, it must be remaining hot, and you're not allowed to put it down for one moment. The most difficult of these five halachas is always putting it down. That's always the hard part. That's the most complicated part. How can you hold it until you put it down? To hold a heavy pot is not easy. It's not safe. No one wants to hold in their hand a hot pot of soup or a hot pot of cholent. It's dangerous.
Okay, wait.
I want to just go over the base of the law. So we'll discuss a little bit. Let's just go through the steps. It is not a simple thing to do. So that's always where you get into trouble. Now we're discussing one particular case now, just to bring out some of the insights. We have a case. We have a pot of cholent that is on a blech that is fully cooked, and it's Friday evening. And you, the expert chef, make an assessment that if we let this pot of cholent remain in status quo, by tomorrow morning, it will be in Gehenna. It will be burnt to a crisp. What are we to do? So one solution is, see if you can have enough room on your blech to slide it off the open fire. Maybe only half of the cholent will be on the open fire. That will be sufficient. Maybe and maybe not. If there's no room, maybe raise it. Put underneath the pot of cholent two knives. Maybe take an aluminum pan, turn it upside down and raise it. Maybe that will do the trick to reduce the heat that is coming into the pot. That's a solution for some yes, some not. Sometimes it's not a solution. And what needs to be done is water needs to be added. Adding water, you can't add cold water. If you add cold tap water, that's malacha de'oraisa of bishul on Shabbos. That's absolutely absurd. Even to take water that was once cooked before, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to go reheat water that was once cooked. So what would be a solution? To take water from a kettle. You have on the other side of the range, you have a kettle, and there's boiling hot water. So you're going to be transferring water from one open fire to another open fire. In essence, that's chazara. I'm taking water off an open fire, and I'm returning it to another pot that's on an open fire. So all five conditions are going to be met. I'm taking water which is burning hot. I'm going to have kavana, and I'm going to put it into a place where the fire is covered, and the water is never going to be resting on a counter for one moment. And this is my intent, so it's a wonderful solution. What's the problem? The kol boy. The kol boy says you're not allowed to do that. Water, adding water, pouring water into a pot of hot food on a fire is forbidden, and it's certainly forbidden to stir it while it's over the open fire. A new din that we never expected has come upon us, which the Mishneh Berurah cites and he acknowledges. It's a very difficult thing to understand. He himself, the Mishneh Berurah, says, I don't understand why it's forbidden. The water is cooked. All the conditions are present. I don't know where the Kol Boy created this new halacha, but tradition. If the Kol Boy says it's usser, it is usser. So what are we going to do now? Simple. Just take it off the fire. Pick up the pot off the fire. Hold it. And someone else should pour the hot water into the cholent, and then return it to the fire. That's it. That's all there is to it. That way you're not violating any of the laws of Chazara, and you're not violating the laws of the kolboy. Okay, in the process, just going through the laws, we ended up discussing all of these different issues. Okay, now just to tie some loose ends. Now you mentioned the kedera al gabe kedera. Okay, so a kedera al gabe kedera is here is where we come to the second issue that we discussed. Let us say you have a cold kugel or cold thick cholent in the refrigerator. It's cold. It's not hot. So you're missing now a few of the conditions of chazara. Number one, it's cold. Number two, you had never had intent to put this cholent back on the fire. Number three, it's been sitting on the counter or in the refrigerator for a very long time. So you're missing three conditions of the five. But you have two conditions. The food is fully cooked. The food is fully cooked and the fire is covered. Doesn't matter. You're not allowed to take this pot and put it on the blech. Forbidden. But what can you do? You can put it on top of another cooking pot. That's called kedera al gabe kedera. Why? It's not derech bishul. It's not the normal way you cook things. Now there is one very important condition here. And that is, it's a solid. It's not, or at least even if it's very moist, the liquid does not reach the degree where the liquid can be poured. So then it is permitted to take it out of the refrigerator, freezing cold, it's fully cooked, and put it down on top of a pot that is resting on the fire. Kedera al gabe kedera. You don't need a blech. The truth is, you don't need a blech. Technically, you don't need the pot that's on the fire does not need a blech. As long as that pot has to have been there in the permissible way, you don't need a blech. But kedera al gabe does not need a blech. And the proof is, because that's what the kedera blech is all about. What is the kedera blech all about? It's not just a piece of metal. They sell in the store something called the kedera blech. What is that? It is basically a pot. It's just a long, narrow pot the size of a blech. And instead of it being a blech, you fill it up with water and you cover it. So that makes it into what's called a pot, not a piece of metal. So now, what does this allow you to do? It doesn't allow you to do very much. What it does allow you to do is, well, maybe that's a lot, it allows you to take a pot of porridge that's solid does not flow, and to warm it up on this Keder Blech on Shabbos. But this will not permit you to reheat liquid. If you have in your refrigerator a pot of chicken soup, even though the chicken soup has already been cooked once, it is forbidden to take that chicken soup and put it certainly on an open fire. You're missing all of the conditions, but you're not allowed to put it even over on a kadera, on a pot. To reheat liquid on a kadera, to make a kadera, al-gabi kadera, is osur, because that is bishul. We consider that to be cooking for the very first time, even though it already was cooked, as we explained the difference between a liquid and a solid. Liquids, solids, there's a fundamental difference between the first cooking and the second cooking. It's such a big fundamental difference. Chazal were extremely lenient. But when it comes to cooking liquids for the second time, there's not such a big difference. And therefore, it is forbidden to reheat liquids that have once been cooked before, even in the situation of kedera, al-gabe kedera. Now, there is one solution, though, and that is to cook things in an unusual way. If anyone still has in their house the old-fashioned radiators, okay, you have an old-fashioned radiator in your house and a nice, freezing cold winter day, you can take out a pot of cholent that has been cooked before, and that you're allowed. That's considered to be completely out of the box. Heating up food in such a way that was previously heated, even a liquid, if I'm not mistaken, it's not open fire. It's completely shaloi kederech bishul. Even the liquid, if I'm not mistaken, is permitted to cook food by putting it on a radiator, a peeping hot radiator. That's not an oven. That's meant to give warmth in the house. That is something that is shloi kederech. Then, if the chicken soup has once been cooked, we paskin that ein bishlach abishul. Even when it comes to liquid in Torah, that already would be permitted. That would be permitted, if I'm not mistaken. That's not open fire. That's not deraisa. It's shloi kederech bishul. And that has already been cooked before, it already has been cooked. You combine all of these leniencies together to permit to cook or to warm up, even to a degree of yatsa ledespo, pot of chicken soup that's in your refrigerator that was once fully cooked onto the radiator. And then what we mentioned also, now let's not forget, we mentioned very important, is that pouring hot water into the cholent, you're also getting now into another very complicated question of where are you getting the water from? Are you getting the water from a kettle? That's much better, because the water from the kettle certainly reached boiling, l'chol hadeos. But if you're getting the water from an urn, then you're entering into two very important questions. Number one, some of the places can say you should not do it, because there are two levels of bishul. There's a level of bishul that is more than yatzer ledespoy, but has not yet reached boiling point. And then there's a higher level of bishul of when it reaches the boiling point. Taking water from an urn that's reached only level number one and introducing it into an environment where it's going to reach level number two is a question of bishul. And the second issue is when you're going to maneuver your urn in order to air the water, you're going to come in contact with fleishik dika steam, which lechatchila should not be done. You don't want your urn to have a tinge of it being fleishik, because then when you're going to take the water from this urn and use it for a cup of coffee and add milk, you're entering into a question of basar b'cholof. B'diavad, it's okay, because it's ready, it's not bar nat, it's two steps removed, and then the Zeya, many hold Zeya lav mils, it doesn't really have the status of meat. But even though after the fact we can be lenient, everyone will agree that if you know good and well there is steam coming out of the chalon that has meat inside, it's not something that is proper to do, to take an urn and tilt it in such a way where the steam will make direct contact with the urn, which you may end up using for milchiks. Okay, so these are some of the questions about how to prepare hot food on Shabbos. I know it's very confusing. I hope at least you got a little bit out of it. If you really want to see all this inside, I cannot recommend more. This Sefer is really a blessing. Remember, years ago I used to spend time on this. I used to read the articles from our Simcha Budim Kohn. It's an incredible Sefer, but it's advanced. His Sefer is a very advanced Sefer, and it's very intense. He packs in one sentence. He packs in quite a bit. This Sefer is laid out really in a very beautiful, pleasant way. You can see the Sefer. It is a very, very, very chosh of a Sefer. It goes through everything you can possibly need to know about preparing food for Shabbos and all those related matters. And it's really good. I'll tell you over here, he writes some of the blurbs. He writes over here from Rav Reuven Feinstein. Rav Reuven Feinstein, this is an important and impressive Sefer. I think that says it all. Okay? That's the blurb that really touched me, because it's impressive. It's impressive in its clarity, its scope, and its thoroughness. On both sides, we're going to stop here. Have a wonderful day. Enjoy. And Amir Tashem, see you soon.
Yashar Koyach. Thank you. Have a good day. Kol Tov. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Have a good day, Scott. Have a good day, everybody.
Be well, everyone.
Thank you.